Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As Jesus and the disciples entered into Jerusalem on the day that we now recall in our Palm Sunday tradition, there was only one amongst that group who was walking a straight and narrow path. It was only Christ, for whom his path, difficult as it was nevertheless laid out clearly before him. The disciples, on the other hand, felt like lords being ushered into the holy city for a coronation. They sensed that the day had finally come, the day they had spoken of amongst themselves, over which they dared to ask if one could sit at Jesus' right hand and the other at his left in his kingdom, that this day had finally arrived. And they had never seen such honor before entering Jerusalem. The people crying Hosanna, and the palm branches waving, and the coats laid down on the ground for them to tread upon at that triumphal entry. They did not know that it would be for them something like the experience one has at the beginning of a roller coaster, where the cars are being lifted up higher and higher, and the sound of the clink, 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 clink is in the ears. The vision, if you recall being on a roller coaster recently, the vision is the sky. The sky is the limit. If you look to your side, they may have said to themselves, finally, we're being elevated above everyone else. But the week that followed became that roller coaster ride for them. Ushered into Jerusalem with great fanfare, then they were plunged immediately into conflict as Jesus goes to the temple and is turning over tables and driving out money changers, and then rising up again as Jesus provides for them a special Passover feast, and they are once again at the center of a spiritual ecstasy with Jesus instituting the sacrament and finally shedding light on what he meant when he had said that one must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Plunging next into anxiety as Judas betrays Jesus and they descend to Gethsemane, watching with anxiety the emotional duress in the extreme of their Lord. And then down to the lowest despair, watching him taken by force with swords and clubs and torches, and lower again as they must reckon with their own cowardice, knowing that they fled from him and denied him and watched his crucifixion from afar. Watching him die in a surreal succession of events, a left and a right, his awful cry from the cross, the darkening of the skies, the shaking of the earth, the rocks splitting, the veil torn. If you were one of his disciples, you might go and lock yourself in a room as well, just as they did, as the scriptures say, for fear. Amongst the crowds, shifting so quickly in their allegiance, at once hailing Jesus that cometh in the name of the Lord, and later crying out, crucify him, the soldiers who at one moment beat Jesus to the very limit of what a man can withstand, mocking and spitting on him, and later, not long after, admitting surely this man was the Son of God. The governor, Pontius Pilate, who himself could not make heads or tails of what he should or shouldn't do with Jesus, no doubt wishing he had done something else with his life at that moment. That first Holy Week was up, down, left, right. There was only one whose path was straight and clear and level and put right before him, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus knew about his hour, and whereas he had known so many times before that his hour had not yet come, now he knew that the hour was here. Jesus suffered no delusions about his triumphal entry. He was not confused about driving out the money changers. Jesus was not shaken as he instituted the sacrament that Maundy Thursday, and the idea had not just recently occurred to him to wash his disciples' feet. He was not upset as the temple soldiers came to take him away. He was not intimidated by the false trial and the condemnation of the high priests. He did not resist the cross as it was set upon his shoulders, and he did not curse his persecutors as he was nailed there. And when he was raised up, and that cross sank a foot or two into the hole in the stone where the cross was held in place, he was not astounded that the thief right next to him was converted. For just as that brass serpent was raised in the desert of Sinai by Moses so that all who looked upon the curse that they deserved would be healed, so now all who look upon Christ crucified and believe in him would be saved. It was not even surprising that the thief would be converted on Golgotha. And Jesus' cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was not the surprise or regret of Jesus about how things had gone, but rather the opening words of Psalm 22, which revealed he knew the later verses were for him too. Verse 23 and 24 of that same psalm, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye, the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Jesus knew his path was the way of sorrow, the way of the cross, and yet the way of life and peace. Our liturgies in Holy Week mirror the experience of both Christ and his followers, of those around him. We are pointing to him crying, Hosanna, and at the next, crucify him. At one moment, rejoicing in the institution of the sacrament and receiving his teaching about washing one another's feet. And at the next, recoiling at the suggestion that he would wash our feet. At one moment, utterly crestfallen to see the suffering Jesus die upon the cross. And at the next, utterly exuberant at the empty tomb and the triumphal entry into that new and glorified life. But through this very Holy Week, let us keep our eyes upon Jesus, whose way through all of this was straight, and whose narrow path was followed without flaw, without stumbling. The one whom we are now meant to imitate, whose path led to the redemption of all humankind. Now we who have our path to walk must consider what is meant for us by all of this. As we look at these two ways, we should see two ways of following Christ. One, like a roller coaster, up and down and up and down and left and right and jerked back and forth, wind and waves and worry. And the other way, patient, accepting, undeterred, purposeful, and redemptive. We're meant to choose our path again this week as we look upon our Lord. And we who now cannot be separated from the love of Christ by tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as St. Paul says, we who are now more than conquerors through the victory of Jesus Christ, who cannot be separated from the love of God by death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. As we are tossed around, jerked back and forth by the events of our world and the events of our lives, let us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, get a hold of ourselves. With our lives evermore bound to Christ on his straight and narrow path, so that we may follow Christ where he leads us in the manner in which he walked. For our path too is straight, and our way is narrow, as Christ's was. But though it involve the carrying of a cross, and no doubt it does, it is the way of life and of peace. The way of Christ is the way of salvation and the way of glory. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which is to say, walk as he walked, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.